Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. We're getting under the cultural hood with corporate anthropologist Andy Simon. Coming up is part two of our chat. Andy Simon is president and managing consultant of Simon & Associates. She's also the author of a corporate anthropology book titled On the Brink. In this segment, we look at the role of women in leadership roles for any corporation, including Silicon Valley and tech companies. What women want in the workplace is surprisingly simpatico with what men want at work. That's collaboration and mutually beneficial recognition and praise. The data and research prove this to be true. So, why is corporate America so bad at creating such a workplace environment? Here's Andy Simon. You have great data on this, and I'd like to start with the Klan, if we could, okay? Which basically what I'm reading, and please correct me if I'm wrong or help me extrapolate from your data, that teamwork over individuals is both male and female. Let's go there first, and then let's figure out how to actually see if we can apply this.
Well, this is very interesting to me because as a woman who's been in the executive suite on several banks, several healthcare organizations, you look left and you look right, and there weren't a lot of us. You watch carefully what you said, and you realize that ideas, and the research is compelling here, ideas that came from guys were adopted faster than suggestions coming from women. And you just watch the, being a watcher, I watch the dynamics.
Right.
I'm a curious George. So we have a wonderful tool called the Organizational Culture Assessment Instrument. Mm-hmm. That was developed at the University of Michigan, extremely well documented. Dr. Kim Cameron and Dr. Robert Quinn did it. Great, great research. There are 10,000 companies who have used it globally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious why nobody had really done a sort of what women and men in that research say about the culture they would prefer. So there are four dominant kinds of culture in corporations.
Right.
Clans, where you collaborate a lot.
Okay.
Creative companies that are very ad hoc and innovative. Think of entrepreneurs. Very competitive companies, market-driven. I had commodities traders. They made a lot of money but didn't collaborate a lot.
Like a quarterly kind of company, always looking at bottom line?
Always looking for outside, competing, pushing the numbers.
Okay.
Not necessarily collaborating in the process.
Okay.
And then controlling bureaucratic companies with lots of rules, and I'm sure you know those as well.
Did you see me light up right there?
Yeah, I do. And control is necessary at times, but too much control with no innovation, you don't go very far.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs with no control or rules don't get anything done. With knowing that, I said, what do women like? What would they prefer? And when you take the survey, you tell us the kind of culture you're in now and what you would prefer. And what would men like? I thought I'd see big differences.
Right.
My little theory was that men would be much more competitive and perhaps controlling. And women would be more innovative and maybe collaborative. Or maybe they also liked to compete. Not knowing, the organization in the Netherlands, OCAI-online.com, where I'm a consultant, they did a full analysis of 3,000 women and 3,000 men in the U.S. And what came out was that, my goodness, women would prefer more of a clan, collaborative, teamwork, people-oriented culture by a lot. And then I looked at the guys. They wanted the same thing.
Okay.
And then the second most important was innovation, ad hoc, empowerment, energy, creativity. Then came competition and then controls. Now, I then went back to look at where they were coming from. They were coming from very different places. Some were coming from controlling places, bureaucracies. Some were coming with competitive organizations that were, you know, bottom line driven. But if you looked at both men and women, there was a movement to something I'll call a tribe.
Okay.
The clan is very tribal.
Mm-hmm.
And people, birds of a feather flock together. People like to work with people. People buy from people.
Right.
And so while the competition is, I am very complex about winning, how we do it matters. And so it's nice to win, but couldn't we find an environment where people, through their working together to get the bottom line results, and couldn't we enable them to be a little bit more empowered and innovative so they could keep adapting and adopting new ideas with greater proficiency?
Okay. I'm trying to process a little bit because your two-inch headline out of the data shows that men and women share the want of a clan, collaborative, highly collaborative environment. But if you look at human capital, the decision makers that build on those are still far too many men sitting in those hiring positions, those decision-making positions. Is there a way to go from this data into applying that to changing that dynamic?
Yes. Well, and how do you apply the dynamic is the question. So now the question becomes, if guys and gals both want a more collaborative environment, how do you capitalize on that to build better organizations? Places where people get the things done, the most effective managers are around the center. They are collaborative, but they're also innovative. They have rules and processes, and they also get things done. So now the question is, we need to focus on that bottom line. I've had family firms that are so collaborative that nothing gets done.
Okay.
And so you don't want to be
off the wheels kind of thing?
Yeah, you don't want to be on the other side. We have 49 family members. Everyone took care of each other, but nobody got anything done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had those companies that are so focused on getting things done, they have a lot of turn in employees.
Yeah.
Because unless you hit your numbers, a little like Wells Fargo.
Right.
You
yes.
get gone.
Right. Right. A lot of churn.
A lot of churn.
The more stratified, more churn, I think, is an anecdote we could glean.
Now, the other part that we begin to find as we observe is that companies that are collaborative with their clients are doing very well. They aren't it's not a pipeline where they're selling something. It's more of a platform. I think of Uber and Airbnb where they collaborate. And together we build something better than either of us could do on our own. Now, you went back to the question of how can we get leadership to begin to step back.
That's the word.
Because it is really about pausing for a moment and beginning to see that if we did more together, what would be energy to turn over a whole new business? There was an article, and I can't remember what that company was, that I read the other day in the New York Times, I believe, about a gentleman who had a bad car accident, and his company ran by itself while he was in the hospital and ran really well by himself. And then he realized that he should just let it run by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And his job is an enabler, not a director. And he didn't have all the good ideas they did.
Right.
So how could you enable them collaboratively to be able to produce great results together as opposed to compete and see some win and some lose? And so I'm fascinated by the McKinsey study about what kind of companies really thrive. A lot of them have women in a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it telling us about not just what they do, but how they do it?
Well, if you speak to my mind, when you were mentioning the CEO who stepped away a little bit or, you know, removed himself by a degree at least, right? I'm thinking of a village elder.
Yes.
providing comfort and support around the hearth, the campfire, if you will, and the company kept going. And then you quickly pivoted, and too quickly for me because I want to go back to it, was the McKinsey report about women leadership, because there was a great study that I like to quote, which is a hedge fund management study. Women run hedge funds outperform male funds over the last 2 years by more than a little bit, like more than 18%, more than an index fund. And so with all of this quantifiable evidence in front of us, again, I have to go back to, and you've already admitted previously that you want to do a deeper dive into tribalism and this clan mentality. So is that where it is? Is that where the bridge needs to be built from this want to dynamic and rubber hitting road?
Great question. One of the things we know is that, remember, we're born half-baked. We come out, we can't walk, we can't talk, we don't know how to do things. During those first 30 years, we learn a lot about those social roles in our society. And they become pretty good habits and perceptual maps in our brain from which we sort reality. And then we behave based upon what was good and what wasn't good while we were growing up in the classroom, in the clubs that we're in, and how we work together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anxious to see if we can begin to change this by getting down below the corporate into the way we raise our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of collaborations we do. And this is hard for a culture to skip what they've always done. But I think it's probably a good time to begin to encourage collaborations among kids, both boys and girls, and begin to get them to respect each other's ideas. And I do think the habits are formed well before they get in the corporate environment. And then they just keep performing what works really well. We're actors. It's a stage.
Right.
We know how to sing it really well on that stage, and I'll play this role, and you play that role. And that's what happens with the poor gals. There's no role which lets them up there.
Right.
But your study is exactly what we're seeing.
Yes.
Women-run stuff really do well.
Yes. Dr. Simon, we're running low on time. This has been fascinating. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's truly a pleasure. What fun talking to you. Thank you so much.
We hope to have you back very soon.
Thank you so much.
That was part two of our chat with Andy Simon. She is president and managing consultant of Simon & Associates. She's also the author of a corporate anthropology book titled On the Brink. There are links to Andy Simon's book, research, and related articles at our Facebook page. Just check out facebook.com/techonomicsradio. Coming up, we have two stories about transportation. One, earthbound luxury. The other, interstellar flight. Yeah, cars and spaceships. Both with their own versions of tech challenges and tech solutions. First is Maven, the newest, sharpest ride-sharing app you'll want to take out for a spin. That comes up after the break. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.